Always a blessing to be in the house of God and to be encouraged with scriptural reading. Those are blessings. Okay, the Christian's conquest. What are we supposed to be doing? What are we wanting to win? What are we after? So I gave myself some other questions as well. Are we good and faithful? Faithful to the Heavenly Father? Are we good? Some people say that when we begin to talk of spiritual life, but they are not. They're just being common folk and common words. And they say, well, I'm good. Jesus answered that one, didn't he? There's none good except the Father, Heavenly Father. So we need to be careful using that sort of a statement or analogy that we connect with God. And then I wrote down for myself over here to the side, we need to behave well. We need to behave ourselves. Okay. We have to watch out for the fame and fortune that can spoil us, do us wrong. We can fail when we get involved with that. But we need to understand Christ's ways, his way, and to live for him. Be godly in our actions. There's a verse in Psalm 37, actually two verses there, 23 and 24. So Psalm 37, it says like this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We can say, okay, make a whole sermon on that one. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So we have to have that connection with the Lord, or we miss that point, that we wouldn't have him helping us to stay in order. Okay, what about this good man? In that same verse it says, and he delighteth in his way, in the Lord's way, the Heavenly Father's way. We delight in the Heavenly Father and his rules and his ways, his standards and statutes. We delight in them. Next part of it would be, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He won't be completely cast down or destroyed if he fell. And we say, well, we hope we don't fall, and that's part of the sermon here too. We don't want to fall. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's interesting. If we're doing right by God and by the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we'll have that protection of the Heavenly Father to uphold us, to keep us from any disastrous situations in our handling of business or our health and so on. All these other things that come our way, we need to have the Heavenly Father on our side. So we want to look at some conquests that we need to be aware of or do for the Heavenly Father. Directing over Christian walk and ways. We need to direct ourselves, command ourselves. I won't walk there. I won't go there. I don't do those things. That's not me. That's not how I behave. That's directing our own steps. And many Christians do not depend on God for direction. When you're reading about David's life and you go back there in the Psalms or when he lived in the history, and you look at all of the scriptures, there's Samuel, there's 1 Kings and 2 Kings and so on. You need to get some of David in all of that. And you find out he was constantly going before God and asking, how's it going? Should I go? Should I stay? Should I go into battle? Should I defend the place? Should I attack the place? He was always asking for God's direction. That'll make us right in all decisions then, if we go to God for each decision and each action. But rather, people will go their own way. And boy, when you're reading the Old Testament chapter after chapter after chapter and just keep going, you all of a sudden realize that a lot of the things that they did were their own desires. They went their own way. They said, I'm going to do my thing, and I've only got one life to live. Isn't that some common sayings nowadays to you? They followed their own desires, and failed. They went astray. They didn't do it right. They weren't able to uphold. We go into the book of Judges and find some problems there. We receive God's direction. We must consult God's word, the scriptures, and trust him to lead us in his way. See, that's why David was always going and saying, I'm going to go before the Lord to prophet this prophet or that prophet and that one. Of course, like Prophet Gad is a surprise because there was a tribe of Gad. Okay, but David was involved with him and asking, and the judges to ask their way. Well, in Judges chapter 2, these should be in order. Yes, okay. Judges chapter 2 and verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge had died that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods. Wow. And served them. Not only just learning about them or following, they weren't even supposed to learn their names or learn how you serve that person or their gods. They weren't supposed to do any of that, and here they are doing it on purpose. Not from their stubborn ways. They would not turn from their stubborn ways. The scripture's always saying, God's always talking to them and saying, you're stubborn, or you are hard case, you won't turn back, you won't listen, you won't understand. And they were just stubborn. There's another word, it won't come to me right now, but that stubborn is good enough. Close. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's us. We. Isaiah is usually talking about Jesus' time and things that would happen in Jesus' time. So Isaiah, although it's in the Old Testament, it's very modern to Jesus' time and to our time. And the verse continues, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus had to suffer because of us. Wow, you can take that to any era, any time frame, and you say, yes, that's exactly what's going on. We have our own ways. So the scripture admonishes us not to be that way. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. There's the answer. That's Proverbs 3 and verse 6. In all thy ways. So in everything that we can think of and do, and whether we want to buy an item or buy a car, buy this, buy that, big or small, we need to be praying about it and ask God for his will. It's very gratifying, very exciting when you stop everything, say, okay, we're going to pray about this, before we even ask about it, before we even enter into this. We're going to pray first. And then you actually see the miracles that God pulls. God does miracles. Like, whoa, isn't that something? Never thought it would be that quick or that fast or that direct. But God is there, and we want to know his way. We need a delight in the Heavenly Father and in his pleasures. Know what's going to make him happy and do those things that makes him happy. God is pleased when we seek his guidance, his direction for our lives. He's happy. There's scriptures like that. I tried to look up a few, but especially this one that I just read to start the sermon. It says, he delighteth in his way. We delight in God's way. God delights that we are following his way. It works both ways. God is pleased when we ask him. We must seek to please God and, from the scripture text again, be delighted in his way, not our ways. They could bring us trouble. We can be happy to do some things. You look back and say, boy, I sure used to love roller skating. You don't do it anymore. You'd probably break a leg, But we used to delight in some things that were not harmful or good or bad, or just activity, just something that you love and thought about when you were younger that you could do. But when we turn to the Heavenly Father for His pleasure, do something for His pleasure, well, He's not going to be roller skating. He's got so many other things on His mind, the care of this world, the people that are losing their lives, the sinners that are backsliding, or the good people that are backsliding and getting hard-hearted, not wanting to follow God's ways. And God is hoping, giving a little more time. He's long-suffering. We must seek to please God and to be delighted in His ways. And then He will be, His ways and His will be always the best for us if we choose His ways. It'll always turn out to the best. In fact, there's scriptures that says that He does this or does that for our good. He gave us laws to live by that were good for us, and so on. The psalmist wrote, David wrote, King David, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. That is really saying something. And he's talking to God. He better not fib. He better not say those little white lies, which there isn't any. There's no little white lies. He didn't lie here. He knew he was doing it right, and he was happy to talk to God about it and saying that I delight to do Your will. It's a pleasure to see the miracle things happening. That's in Psalm 40, verse 8. When I got there, I thought, I really need a couple more verses. So I looked up these verses. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Wow, that's in Ephesians 1, verse 5. He predestined, you can get into a whole study on that, but when after the fact, you can say, yep, He sure got me here. He took me to this path and that path and that path and that path. I wouldn't have been able to do that on my own. God did it. So He planned that I would be here. I would be doing this or that. And to be adopted? We couldn't plan that. It's not like a little child goes around saying, will you adopt me? Will you adopt me? It might be wishful thinking, but they don't know what they could get into. So God planned this adoption for us, that we would be in His family through Jesus Christ. And according to His own good pleasure, I put the word own in there, but His pleasure and of His will. And then in that same chapter, Ephesians 1, but verse 9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. So God planned this. He worked out the plan to get there. He worked out the circumstances to get there. And why? It's for His own pleasure. He loves that idea. He loves to see things, a plan comes together. He loves it. In Philippians 2:13, for it is God's, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. So God's in us, and what happens in us and through us, God is directing for His own pleasure. What's one of the big pleasures? That another sinner would come to righteousness. Another sinner would be saved. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents and comes to God. That's His pleasure. So He's working all these plans for that pleasure. In, let's see. Oh, okay. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Kind of, sometimes the scriptures for me are a little awkward to read and my eyesight as well, a little trouble, but I love it when you have to think through it and say, God put this in order. God made this plan. It's working this way. That we pray always. Yes, we should always be praying for God to work through us and be in us and around us. And he's counting us worthy to be in that condition, in that plan. A calling? Wow. Okay. That's pretty neat. Fulfilling all of the good pleasure of his goodness. He's got his goodness in there in a way that it's working for others, working good for everybody, but he's doing it through us. That we're part of this whole progress. Remember when they came together, the disciples had been in jail and they'd been singing and so on, and they came together and they said, wow, we are so glad that we were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Whoa. Now, wait a minute. Are you sure, brother? That's what it is when you understand God's will and the word always gets out. We're still telling that same story, right? 2,000 years after the fact, kind of the thing, you know, kind of that much. And the story is still being told. In Hebrews 12 and verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. That's parents. Parents can give us spankings. They can correct us and tell us you come in that door and you go out that door and you take your shoes off when you come in. The corrections that we received, right? The instructions for a few days. What? Yeah, about 10? You don't know much before you're 5, and then by 15 you're ready to leave the nest, aren't you? Almost. So 20 years at the most, kind of, it seems to be like that, a generation. The parents had the pleasure of their own of what they wanted you to do. So let's go a little further. What about this pleasure? But he... That'd be the Heavenly Father and Jesus. The Heavenly Father particularly, they don't capitalize in the King James like that, but he, for our profit, Heavenly Father is correcting us so that we'll go down the right path where the treasures are, where the goodness is, where the greatest gain is. He's going to take us for our profit. You think, well, is this only for God? No, it's for us. We profit. That we might be partakers of his holiness. That is absolutely amazing. How would he allow us to be part of his holiness? Well, if we're adopted, if we're grafted in and adopted, wow, and all these treasures are laid out in front of us, that can be yours. You can have it. Wow. Yep, those are the good things. We should be delighted to do his will because all those things are going to come from him. The downfall is one that we don't usually want to talk about, that it's possible to have a crash or something happen in our lives. That verse in Psalm 37 said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Something goes wrong. God doesn't want us to fail. God doesn't want us to crash. He doesn't want problems to happen to us. He loves us. But we do something. No one is perfect. You know, there's none righteous, no, not one. Oh, yeah, that kind of hurts. And of course, when you've stepped into the knowledge of salvation and walking with God, you don't want that to ever happen. We want to stay always on the other side. We will make mistakes. We do. We blunder. There's scriptures on both of those and fail at times. But God is merciful and patient. We think, why would he do that for us? Well, look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Wow, don't do it, he's saying to these people. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have to know when we're falling down, when we're going to have a hiccup in our life, a problem. We need to know how to fix it, how to get over it and beyond it. Okay, I want to go next to Galatians 6 and verse 1. Oh, yeah, that's what happened. Just a moment. Oh. Okay. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he fell, he failed, he crashed. Wow. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted and crash, you might add on that, right? That's what it's talking about. Don't do that. We could accidentally get into the same problems that this other person did. What do we do with the other person? Well, we saw him crash. Some say you can never backslide. Oh yeah, there's a lot of people that backslide. They fail. They go backward. There's a lot of verses about that too. One of them is going backward, you know, falling backward and so on. And being a backsliding person, backsliders. Wow. So we have to watch that we can help this brother out of that problem, brother or sister, help that person out of the condition they've fallen into. After they were born again, after they were saved. Some churches and pastors would say that'll never happen, or they weren't saved properly in the first place, or some, you know, they're saying it's not going to happen. Well, they're setting themselves up for a problem. And people do fall. People go backward. Things happen in their life. We need to be praying for them, visiting, working with them, trying to draw them back into the fold. The 99 sheep story, and the one got lost, and the master, Jesus is telling the story. It would be like him going and getting him. But we all should be feeling that we need to go after that one that got lost, the one that went astray, wandered out away from the flock where the safety was. They went out. We need to sure be praying for them. So there's a lot of, if people fall, there's a lot of trouble. They fall into trouble. They fall into difficulties and sorrows and sicknesses and suffering. At times, all of those, or any one of them, or another type of similar things, God will not allow us to be utterly cast down, is what I read in that verse in Psalms, right? If we want back, if we can see our way, that, yeah, we're going wrong. We're going the wrong way. We can take advice from somebody that comes and tells us of our failure and says, I'd like you to come back. I'd like you to do this or that. Psalms 37 there was telling us not that we would not be utterly cast down. We may be fallen, may be down. But the psalmist says, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Whoa, that's a good one. Sustain, I like that word. Sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's in Psalm 55:22. We can let ourselves go over the edge. We can turn off of the main path and go on a trail into the stones and rocks and hills, get lost. We can turn aside ourselves, but God won't let us if we're trusting in him. If we're going to him for questions and for answers, for an answer to a prayer. Psalm 16, verse 8. The main words in there is, I shall not be moved. And then I started looking at that, I shall not be moved, and there was a bunch of them, and I thought, I really can't do this. There's too many verses. If I can, I got to scroll this way. Whoops. Okay. Psalm 37, verse 9. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. Time of trouble. I made myself a list of those troubles. And some others similar to this, but it uses the word trouble. Nahum 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Whoa, isn't that nice? God knows us if we're trusting in him, and we've kept that pathway open. We've kept that traveling open with him. The communication lines are open to the Heavenly Father. He knows us, and he wants to be good to us, wants to help us. This stronghold, they used to make a building in the middle of a small town, and they'd put the farms around the farms, around the town part, and put the farms all the way around the outside. And then you could go in this tower, this taller building, and you could get up there and you could see if the enemy was coming, and or whether it was a fox or something else that was going to do damage to the town or damage to their gardens and their food. You could see out there. So that building was called a stronghold. If you got a good look out there and you saw the enemy coming, whatever type of enemy, you could then attack the enemy, or you could hide in there until the trouble was gone by. And remember the lady that threw down the millstone? And it was a real shame for the man to get himself hurt, because he let a woman do that to him. Okay, she was in the stronghold. Okay, good stories. The Bible's got all kinds of really good stories, so you want to be sure and read daily. It's a great blessing. So God will be our stronghold, our defense, yes. In Psalm 32, verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You'd only sing after deliverance happened, right? So he's saying, you're there to deliver me. And I know you're there, and I'm ready for the singing. Okay, deliver me from my problems, and God will take care of us that way. Then there's the word loneliness, and we can all run into that, which can be a downfall. That could be a critical thing when we're actually could end up with more problems than we wanted. But we have to have deliverance from those problems, and God is there for us. He wants to preserve us, protect us, and care for us. God has promised to sustain us. That's a big thing for us to remember. And God has these other promises of his word that we can trust in. The Lord shall help them and deliver them and save them because they trusted in him. Wow. Again, the words are very important, how they've been put together and how they're helping us to survive through these things. I've got a couple more here on loneliness. And so let's take that one. It's only one on loneliness. Psalm 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God. It's kind of a back and forth conversation in that verse too. The speaker is King David, the psalmist, saying, I am poor and needy. He's explaining to God that he's in this human state and that I sure need your help. Think on me. God, would you remember me? Would you think on me? And God's saying, yes, right on. Just come and ask, and you can get it. It's there for you. And he's, think on me when I'm in trouble. And be my help. Deliver me from all of these other situations around us. We could make a long list, but boy, what a modern world with an awful lot of troubles. Problems on every side. All kinds of things can distract us and take us away from the Heavenly Father. So we need to pray something like this and get a good communication between the Heavenly Father and us. And come, he's asking God, come to me, don't tarry. Come right away. Come and help me. Okay, that's Psalm 40, verse 17. Then I wrote on here just God chose. It doesn't explain very much. But there is a verse that I'd like you to go with me on. James chapter 2 and 5, verse 5. Hearken. I think, oh, hey, he's trying to call us to attention. Hearken. My beloved brethren. It's like a PA system in a school, isn't it? Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Ah, so don't measure by money and the items that they have. God chose us because we were poor and he's helping us every step of the way. There's going to be wealth in the far future. We can, lots of verses on that. But don't expect it now. I always tell people, if I made $1 million or won $1 million, which you got to do something to win, which I wouldn't be doing. But if all of a sudden $1 million dropped in your hand, oh boy, your life would change. You're going to have a guard for your home. You got to have a person to drive you around because it wouldn't be safe for you to drive. Everybody'd want to hit you and sue you, right? You'd have to have railing all around your place. You could go down a list that would be ridiculous. Why would you want all of that? We'd be much better off where we are with what we've got, and thank God for it. I thank God often for the place he's put me. I'm not on the West Coast burning up. I'm not on the East Coast being tornadoed and hurricaned to death. All kinds of people are in big trouble. There's some real heat domes clear up to the Canadian border and beyond where they're just cooking. You know, God put me right here. I'll take it. God knows what's best, okay? And we even got air conditioners. Isn't that amazing? God has given the intelligence of all of these things to keep us safe. So he hath chosen the poor. Poor in spirit is rough to understand, but we know that we want to be wise in spirit, serving God in the spirit. And so we can be rich in that. Rich in faith is in that same verse. Rich in faith. Yeah, we can do that. Read the scriptures. It's not that hard. I tell people every so often, just recently I told somebody again that it's only 3 days and three nights, 72 hours. And you can't read through the whole Bible in a month? In 6 months? In a year? You haven't got 72 hours for God? We got 72 hours for God. We only have to do it a little at a time. It's 52 weeks. That's not too hard to divide. Okay. How much do you need per week? How much do you need? Somebody said 20 minutes per day. And then if we say, there's opportunities and things that we can't get out of or can't get avoid or whatever. So you read a little more some other time and less over here, or you miss a day there because of, you read a little more over here. And then they say, I didn't make it, for the year. I don't think I did very well. Well, you're just on the 2-year plan. Don't stop. Don't give up. You're just on the 2-year plan and keep going. And it's a blessing. Some have asked us how often we have read it, and that sounds like bragging, but we started at least in 1972 or slightly before, and always read the Bible. Of course, I went to Midwest Bible College in 63 and 4, 3, 4. And then, of course, you're reading the Bible then, right? And actually, I found my notes from taking the Bible home instructor back there, correspondence course, in the late 50s. Well, how many times have I read the Bible through in all those years? Yeah. We just need to be doing it. We are people of the Bible, and we want to be doing that sort of thing. So there's promises there for us if we'll serve God, and he wants the best for us. He's going to direct our lives and care for us, and keep him our friend and we his friend, and he will give us blessings. May God bless you.